756, we're in John chapter 7. And we're going to start this morning on verse 14. And before we begin verse 14, I'd like to just kind of tell you what's going on. There's a big party going on in Jerusalem. And if you're familiar with the Jewish culture, you know that the Jews, they know how to party. When they get together to party, they don't just party for an hour or two. They party for, 7 days. And so Jesus is in Jerusalem during the Feast of the Tabernacles. This is a 7-day feast, and you could really say it's 8 days because on the 8th day there was a day of rest after the party. After 7 days of partying, you need a day of rest, right? And so this was the Feast of the Tabernacles is probably the most celebratory event of the year for the Jews, even bigger than Passover. And the population of Jerusalem would swell from 100,000 to over 1 million. Jews would come from all over the Roman Empire to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. They would set up booths in the streets or tents, and they kind of reenacted their time in the wilderness. And people who lived in Jerusalem would go up on their roof and set up little booths on their roofs. And there were, a variety of activities that would take place each day. And Jesus went to this festival. And at this particular festival, this happened during the last year of his life in October. He was crucified in April. So he's now in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacles in October. And a number of people there are looking for Jesus. They've heard about him. They've heard him taught before. There's a lot of people from Galilee there. They're looking for their homeboy, And but Jesus is nowhere around. But then it tells us in verse 14, it says, "Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to teach." Now many look at this event and point to a prophet who lived 500 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Malachi. Because the prophet Malachi said this, "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple." In other words, the prophet Malachi said, "Get ready, the Lord is coming to his temple." Now you may say, "Now wait a minute, Rick, there was a lot of people who went up to the temple." That's true, but with Jesus it was different. When Jesus came to the temple, he came to the temple. When Jesus came up to the temple, he came up to the temple like he owned it. He referred to the temple as my Father's house. So Jesus comes to the temple, and he begins to teach. Now, I'd like you to kind of visualize this in your own mind. When Jesus went up to the temple to teach, he would go to the courtyard, most likely the courtyard of the Gentiles, and he would sit. And this was customary of the Jewish teachers or the rabbis. And the reason the teacher would always sit, now in our culture, the teacher always stands, and the people sit. But during the time of Jesus, the teacher would sit, and everybody else would stand. And this was kind of the tradition. They had more of a kingly mindset. When a king spoke, he sat on his throne, and the people in his court would not dare sit down. You didn't sit down in the presence of the king. And so this type of tradition was also reserved for rabbis and for teachers during the time of Jesus. The teacher would sit, and those who would listen to him speech would stand. And so that's what's taking place here. Jesus has gone to the temple. He's in the court of the Gentiles. He's sitting. Everybody else around is gathered around him. They're standing and listening to him. And it says in the next verse, the Jews were amazed. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. Are you amazed at the teaching of Jesus? Now, most of us are. That's the reason we're here. Sometime in our life, the words of the Lord Jesus had an impact on our heart and our mind. The Holy Spirit used his words to show us our need, to show us that we're sinful and that we need a Savior. And so, as a result of the words of Jesus, we came to Christ. Lord willing, he'll continue to work in our hearts and minds to change us so that we can represent him and be the people that he desires us to be. But it's interesting to look at a number of instances throughout Scripture, and to see the reaction of the people who heard Jesus teach. For example, one of the first times that Jesus taught was when he went to Capernaum, and in the very first chapter of the book of Mark, It says, he went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And it's almost the same phrase. And the people were amazed. And in Mark it says they were amazed because he spoke to them as one who had authority. And that's, you know, as you read the gospel and as you read the words of Jesus, you see the authority and the power in the words that he said. Jesus spoke and the blind received their sight. Jesus spoke and the lame stood up and started walking. Jesus spoke and the sick were healed. Jesus spoke and the wind stopped and the sea became calm. Jesus spoke and the demons begged for mercy. Jesus spoke and the dead were raised. Jesus spoke and soldiers fell to the ground. Now you may say, wait a minute, when did soldiers ever fall to the ground? John chapter 18, if you have your Bible, turn with me. John chapter 8, Jesus is in the garden. The soldiers have come to arrest, John chapter 18. The soldiers have come to arrest Jesus. If you have the Rack Bible, it's on page 766. Jesus in the garden, it's nighttime, it's dark. They didn't have floodlights during that time, all they had was torches. The soldiers have come up into the garden with torches, they're looking for Jesus, it's dark, they can't figure out which one it is, or which one of the, you know, the crowd is Jesus, and says in verse 2 of John chapter 18, now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it that you want?" "Jesus of Nazarene," they responded. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Oh, the power and authority of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, there's a Matthew who followed Jesus around for 3 years, records him going into Nazareth, his hometown. He went into the synagogue, and it says the same thing. It says that Jesus began to teach, and they were amazed, and they began to ask themselves, where did this man get such wisdom and authority? So I want to ask you this morning, are you amazed by the teaching of Jesus? Now, this may sound really obvious, but you know why these people were amazed? Because they were listening to him. And none of us are going to be amazed by the words of Jesus unless we read the words of Jesus. And I want to suggest to you this morning that listening to the words of Jesus is vital to your Christian growth. If I were to ask you to name some of the teachings of Jesus, what would you say? What would you quote? Now, here this morning, I know there's folks who've gone to church for like 40 years, and they're real familiar with the words of Jesus. Some of you are saying, oh yeah, words of Jesus. I remember some of his teaching. I went to a youth meeting once. Let me see. You know, he said something about, you know, loving your neighbor. Let me give you some samples of the teachings of Jesus. I'm just going to pick and choose some that of the teachings of Jesus, and I pick these out as examples of what I would consider probably some of the most famous teachings of Jesus. And I'd like you to just sit back. And I'd like for you to imagine that you're hearing this for the first time. Imagine yourself standing in the temple courts and hearing Jesus speak. Now, I'm going to jump around in different parts of the scripture, so, you know, Jesus would not have taught like this. It's interesting that it says that they were amazed at his teaching, but it doesn't tell us what he said at this particular event. So let me just give you a sample of the teachings of Jesus, and I'm going to read them out of the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase of the original text. Jesus said, "Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so cares, if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you? There is a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as the sons of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even scoundrels do that much. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Do for others what you want them to do for you. This is the teaching of the laws of Moses in a nutshell. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Anyone who seeks, finds. If you will only knock, the door will open. Not all who sound religious are really godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide enough for all the multitudes to choose its easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts of lust, theft, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, wanting what belongs to others, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, pride, and all sorts of other folly. All these vile things come from within. They are what pollute you and make you unfit for God. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I assure you that everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. For only I, the Son of Man, have come to earth and will return to heaven again. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on a pole, so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And the Father leaves all judgment of sin to His Son, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. But if you refuse to honor God's Son, whom He sent to you, then you certainly are not honoring the Father. The Father and I are one. I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, though he dies like anyone else, shall live again. I am the bread of life. No one coming to me will ever be hungry again. Those believing in me will never thirst. For I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me. This is the will of God, that you believe in the one whom He has sent. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from the innermost being of anyone who believes in me. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. For living light will flood your path. You must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. How do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that this message of salvation should be taken from Jerusalem to all the nations. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. If God were to visit this planet, you expect him to speak like no one had ever spoke before. And that's what you see in the Lord Jesus. You know, if you still have your Bible open to John chapter 7, I'd like for you to notice that as a result of Jesus teaching the temple, a lot of the Jewish rulers and leaders were a little upset. And so they sent some soldiers to arrest Jesus. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. It would be kind of like, you know, sending the police to arrest somebody. These guys are professionals. They're trained. They've arrested many people. They know how to arrest people. They've done it many times. Now, look at verse 45 of chapter 7. If you have the Rack Bible, it's on page 757. Okay, so these temple guards, the temple police went to arrest Jesus, but they came back empty-handed. They didn't arrest him. So verse 45 says, finally the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? So, you know, it'd be like, you know, five sheriffs. They come back, you know, to the headquarters, and, you know, the chief is there, and he says, okay, well, where is he? How come you guys, I sent you guys out to arrest this man. Where is he? All right, look at verse 46. Here's their response. No one ever spoke the way this man does. Here are these professionals. The teaching of Jesus was so profound, these police couldn't even do their work. They couldn't do what they were trained to do. Can you imagine them coming up to Jesus? They're sitting there, and before they grab him, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of slowed down because of the crowd around Jesus. And so they stop and they began to listen. They look at one another and say, no way. We're not taking this guy. They go back. They too were amazed at the teaching of Jesus. And so we see this little conversation, getting back to verse 14. There's this little conversation that takes place. It says, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? The King James says, how knoweth this man letters? The NAS says, how has this man become learned? That word learned in the NAS or in the NIV, which is what the Rack Bible is, it's the Greek word grammar. It's the word that we get the English word grammar. It refers to written knowledge. And so the Jews are saying, wow, how does he know so much? They listened to Jesus and it was obvious that he knew the scriptures. He knew the writings of the rabbis. He knew the history of Israel. The Jews are simply asking, how did this man, you know, get so much knowledge without coming to our schools? Because you see, all the schools were in Jerusalem. If you wanted to be a teacher, if you were a Jew and you wanted to be a teacher, well, you know, you came and studied with one of the rabbis in Jerusalem. And they knew that Jesus didn't do that. So they're saying, hey, how did this guy become so well educated? Well, Jesus was homeschooled. Jesus was on, you know, an independent study program. And personally, you know, I think that the Lord Jesus had total recall. Because, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin. Scripture teaches that Almighty God placed himself in the womb of Mary. That's hard for us to understand. Not too long ago, you know, on a Thursday night, one of the kids of Awana said, you know, how is it that Jesus prayed to the Father? If Jesus was God, you know, and he prayed to God, who was he praying to? Was he talking to himself? And I said, well, no, but, you know, Scripture teaches us, and this is hard to understand. In fact, we don't really understand it. But there's one God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. St. Patrick used to explain it this way. He would hold up a shamrock, you know, and a shamrock has three leaves. He says, this is one shamrock, but there's three leaves here. There's only one God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three separate leaves, three separate persons, one God. A perfect unity. Our mind can't understand that. God is far more complex than we can know and understand. And I believe that, you know, Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus grew in wisdom. And so he had to learn like the rest of us. But because he wasn't tainted by, you know, sin, Scripture tells us that he was the second Adam. The first Adam wasn't tainted by sin. Jesus had a perfect mind. I'm sure he could go in, you know, as a kid into the synagogue. They'd read the Scripture. He'd hear it. He'd never forget it. He had total recall. And so he learned. He studied on his own. He spent much time in prayer talking to his Father. His teaching was brilliant. His teaching is unlike anyone who had ever spoke before. And so Jesus kind of understands, you know, what they're mumbling about. And so Jesus, you know, knows what they're thinking. He knows that they're thinking, hey, listen, he wasn't taught by our rabbis, so he must be making this stuff up. And Jesus sets the record straight. He says, in the next verse, it says, Jesus answered, my teaching is not of my own. It comes from him who sent me. Now, who sent Jesus? God the Father. Jesus makes that clear. Back in chapter 5, when we were in chapter 5, we talked about this. Jesus said, my works testify that the Father has sent me. Jesus didn't make up the things he said. He was not taught by man. He was not self-taught. He wasn't making this stuff up. Everything Jesus said came straight from God the Father. Now, I'd like for you to think about that for a minute. To read the words of Jesus is to read the words of the living God. To read the words of Jesus is to read the words of the God who created heaven and earth. Now, to reject the teaching of Jesus is to reject the words of the living God. To ignore the words of Jesus is to ignore the words of the living God. But to listen to Jesus is to be taught by God. And then Jesus gives this invitation, verse 17. And here's the invitation. He says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So in other words, Jesus gives this invitation. And this invitation is for everyone. Are you a skeptic? Do you know a skeptic? I had a skeptic friend when I was in college, and I took him right to this verse. Because this friend of mine, he says, I don't know if Jesus is God. I don't know. I mean, how can I really know? I said, hey, listen, Jesus has an invitation for you. He says right here, and I read him this verse, you really want to know if Jesus is from God or not? He invites you to just to read his words. And if you read his words, you'll know. if he's from God or if he's making it up. And then Jesus says this, "He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." I believe Jesus said that because generally the teachers of Jesus' day, that's what they did. When they spoke to bring attention to themselves. But Jesus spoke to bring everyone's attention to God the Father. And so as we think about what Jesus has just said, I'd like to leave you with a challenge. I'd like to challenge you to read the words of Jesus every day. Jesus says that the Word of God is like bread. You wouldn't go a day without eating, would you? Unless you had to. Why would you go a day without listening to the words of Jesus? So I'd like to encourage you to read the words of Jesus, even if it's only a paragraph. If you don't like to read, no problem. You can get the Bible on CDs. You can download the Bible on your smartphone, plug in your earphones, and listen to the words of Jesus anytime. And the reason I want to challenge you with that is because, you know, all of us struggle. And I want to see, you know, Christians be healthy, to be strong, to experience the abundant life that he promises for each one of us. And oftentimes we miss out on what God desires to give us simply because we're not listening to his words. And do you realize that your success as a student, as a child, as a parent, as a friend, as a spouse, depends on whether or not you listen to the words of Jesus? That's what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, "He who listens to my teaching and obeys them," now that's the key, listening to them and obeying them, "is like a man who builds his house on rock, so that when the winds come and the storms come, that house will stand." But then he says this, "But he who does not listen to my words is like a man who builds his house on sand, and when the winds come and the storms come, that house will crash." And so Jesus gives this warning. Listen to me. Follow me. Obey me. I want you to be strong. I want you to be ready for those storms because those storms will come. Some of you are in a storm, in the middle of a storm right now. And if you'll listen to the words of Jesus, he'll strengthen you. He'll guide you. He'll give you his wisdom. He'll tell you the next step. You do not want to miss that. Only the Lord Jesus has the power to see into the future. You don't want anybody else guiding you but the Lord Jesus himself. Everything Jesus did and said was to the honor of the Father. Jesus even delivered up his life to the honor of the Father. Jesus sacrificed his life to pay the penalty for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and inherit eternal life to the glory of God the Father. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven,